Hello, Marvel fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Stand Up and Marvel, your destination for all things MCU. I'm your host, Colin. Joining me, as always, is Mike. Today is March 30th, 2022. Today's episode, we are talking about the premiere episode of Moon Knight. So no announcements today. We're going to do a quick non-spoiler segment for anybody who hasn't had a chance to watch it yet. So with that, let's get into it. All right, so non-spoilers first here. So, Mike, did you like it?
Colin, I loved it. Yeah.
Same.
It was hard to process because I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but you know, Colin, I started a new job. So that's been taking up a lot of my time and my whole brain waves. But I watched the episode this morning before I started, and I did have some time to process it. And I loved it, honestly. Like, the most explosive finale. Yeah, maybe I'm disregarding some of the ones last year because right now I'm in the moment. But, you know, when I think of WandaVision, I even think of Falcon, you know, I think of, honestly, Loki. Loki was pretty slow in the beginning, the first episode, even though it was exciting and it was interesting. But this episode was boom, bam, explosive. So not going into anything more, I loved it. What about you? You said you loved it?
Yeah, I mean, when you said that, that just got me thinking, like, not only comparing it to the premieres of the other shows, but even, like, the finales, like, honestly, sure. It was just a really, I mean, described it very well, explosive start to the series, and I liked it better than, you know, most episodes and most of the other shows that have come out to this point. I mean, there were definitely some finales, like, you know, the Hawkeye finale and the Loki finale. I would say I liked it better than the WandaVision finale, probably.
Hands down. Yeah, hands down.
But yeah, I mean, that's saying a lot that it's better, that the first episode was better than the finales of most of the shows that we've gotten at this point. Like, it's pretty crazy. You know, it's very high praise.
It's not a spoiler. Sorry, not to cut you off, but it's not a spoiler. But I just before we started, it's actually the highest rated premiere for all Disney Plus shows for Marvel so far. Sitting at a 9.1 on IMDb.
So that leads into my next question. How did you feel about this compared to the premieres for the other Marvel shows, MCU shows?
You know, I can expand on it a little bit. I'm not going to just totally cop out and say, oh yeah, hands down, 10 out of 10, best one. Look at the ratings, right? No, you know, there's reasons why. You know, it captivated me. You know, it brought me in. It drew me in. I wanted to know more. I was strapped in. I was about to call off work for the day and binge the whole season. Honestly, it really just pulled you in. And I don't want to go into anything more. We're going to expand on it in the main discussion. But I really liked the WandaVision premiere because I think that the WandaVision, you know, it was the first time we had Marvel in a while, so it was a long break, so it felt good to be back. I guess that's not fair.
It was pretty slow though.
It was slow, like, exactly.
Like, honestly, I wasn't like super excited until like, well, okay, no, there were moments throughout because like they had those advertisements for random like household products and references to like Hydra and stuff like that, like things like that, like, got me thinking, like, all right, where are they going with this? You know, they're obviously up to something here. So, I mean, there were moments like that that got me excited in WandaVision. But apart from that, it was a pretty slow premiere. But you can definitely not say the same for this one. It was just,
oh my God, no. Yeah.
Just pulled you in. And it was just really exciting.
I honestly, I'm not trying to, like, overhype this at all, but maybe it's because I was still like drinking my coffee this morning while I was watching it, but it took me by surprise because I guess my brain was trained to, like, we were saying the older premieres were kind of like, they're a little exciting, but it was also just to set the tone and to start building up the story and everything and introduce us back to the old characters and maybe a new character. But no, I mean, this was just boom. Like, my brain was like, I was like, okay, whoa, I gotta like take a moment, and I couldn't pause because I literally had to go to work. So I was like, I don't have time to pause. I need to keep watching this, but I need to like process this. It was, and I don't want to overhype it, but honestly, wow. this is a start for the year. I'll say that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm really excited to see where they're going with this. I mean, if it's anything like the other MCU shows, it's only going to ramp up from here. And if this is where they're starting, it's going to get crazy.
It's true. Yeah. And I do like that it's contained. I was thinking that today when we were watching it, I was like, yeah, that was kind of a bummer hearing the news like a week or two ago that, you know, it's going to be contained into its own thing. And then everyone was kind of like, oh, is it not a part of the MCU? It is. But this is the Iron Man thing. Like, this is its own contained origin story away from everything. We don't know where it lands in the timeline yet. I like this. I like that. This feels right to be contained into its own space because, hey, Oscar Isaac right now is leading up to be, I think I saw it online today, MCU's secret weapon right now. And I love that headline because it's about to come in full force right now, for sure.
Honestly, I think that's probably enough. One more thing, I guess. I mean, a couple things we can talk about. So we've talked about trailers a lot, the way that Disney does their trailers, or Marvel, I guess. I don't know who has the final say on that, whose decision it is to put the Act 3 stuff in there, you know, getting us all the most exciting things in the trailer to get people in the theaters, which is completely unnecessary because everybody's going to go anyway. And it felt to me like they did a lot better with Moon Knight, because I feel like most of what we saw in the trailer, and I guess this is borderline spoiler, but not really. I feel like most of what we saw in the trailer was in episode one. So that gives us a lot of unknown stuff to look forward to. I mean, there's still a few clips from future episodes that we haven't seen yet, but I don't think there's anything major.
It's just shots of him in his suit. That's it. Like, there's a lot of different shots of him in his suit, action and stuff.
One or two other characters that we haven't seen yet. Sure. But I don't think it was anything major.
No, I agree. So,
yeah, at least two that I can think of. But still, there's a lot to look forward to for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm happy with the way that they did it with Moon Knight.
Me too, man. So. I'm really excited. I'm happy that Marvel's here. Finally, it always feels like the break always feels like an eternity for me. And I'm just so happy it's back, and it's back in full force. And, you know, not to slight anything with WandaVision. I loved WandaVision, but yeah, comparing it to this, can you imagine if Moon Knight was the first episode of last year after that long break that we had? We would have been like, whoa. We'd have been like, okay, all right, let's all right, we need to wipe the sweat off my brow on that one, because it's intense, complex. Like, there's a lot going on, and we'll definitely dive in. So stay tuned.
Yeah. And then one other thing I wanted to talk about. So without giving anything away, so Moon Knight is a very challenging character to play, like as an actor. It's a very challenging character to play because of all the different personas. And if you don't know anything about Moon Knight, make sure to listen to our last episode. We were talking about the character, just everything we know from the comics and predictions for the show and stuff like that. So it doesn't really go into any spoilers. So if you're curious about that, make sure to check it out. And that'll better explain why he's such a challenging character to play. So given that, how do you think he did without giving anything
away? I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
Without giving anything away, how do you think Oscar did?
I'm biased because I've been a fan of Oscar Isaac for a while now. I never thought that he wasn't going to deliver from the moment he was casted to the moment I saw the first footage in the trailers. So for me, I'm biased, and it was exactly what I expected. So the whole, see, and that's going, I'm going to save it for the next.
Yeah, episode. Yeah, it's hard not to go into.
Yeah, I was about to, I call myself, but
Good catch. I mean, I thought he did a great job. It's a very hard character to play. I almost said something too. It's right. It's a borderline spoiler, so I won't say it.
The best is yet to come.
All the different elements of the different personas that you need to account for as an actor. It's just very challenging, and I think he nailed it so far. We'll see with everything else that's coming up.
I'm
really happy with it.
I'm super happy. I think the best is yet to come, and that says a lot because he delivered in the first episode. Yep. Maybe 5 more. So, yep.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for the non-spoiler segment. Hopefully that got everybody hyped. If you haven't watched this episode, yeah, make sure to watch it. It's awesome. Get really high expectations for the rest of the season. Don't know if they're going to do more than one season. I'm hoping they will, but we'll see. Anyway, if you haven't watched it, watch it and then come back and listen to the rest of this. We're going to go into the spoiler segment now. So stay tuned. All right, let's dive into it. So starts off pretty strong, like right away. You see a very like calm looking scene, and then it's Arthur Harrow. I mean, it looks like it for the first like 15, 20 seconds.
Until he puts glass in his shoes.
Yeah, jeez.
I wasn't even 3 sips into my coffee, and I was like, oh my gosh.
All right, they mean business. Here we go.
Yeah, I was like, time to sip a little bit more now. Time to make bigger gulps. Yeah. It was wild.
Man. What does that mean, the glass in the shoes? So, I mean, I think it's just like, because the deity that that he's, I don't know if he's the avatar of the deity. It's not really clear. It's kind of hinted at, I guess. So maybe he's the avatar of Amit, but... the whole like deal with that deity is judging people. It's, good people are allowed to live and be a part of the future world that they're building, and the bad people are just killed outright. So I think the glass in the shoes is just penance, trying to remind himself that he needs to do good deeds and whatnot. I think that's all that really is. So but yeah, what a start.
Yeah, and I also feel like he doesn't take pain in the same way as a traditional human does, which may foreshadow. I don't want to jump the gun, but the way that they delivered it and kind of the way that they're setting it is that it seems like it's going to be two like avatars against each other, like Ethan Hawke's God and Khonshu. Did I pronounce it right? With Moon Knight. That it seems like there's going to be a clash of the old gods through them. That's kind of what I got from that, but that could be wrong.
Yeah, seems to be building to that. But yeah, I was going to get into that a little bit later.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they talked about a bunch of different Egyptian deities. So Khonshu and Amit are the two main ones. Those are the only ones that we've actually seen directly influencing the world so far. So the other Egyptian deities, they talked about what do they call it, the what was that group called, the like super gods
group? You watched it more than me already. So I
don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Aeneid, something like, or
Aeneid. Aeneid?
Yeah, he actually said it in the episode. So I'll have to go back and watch it again.
I was planning on watching. Yeah, I was planning on watching it again tonight before I go to bed, honestly. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so the super gods, the super group of Egyptian gods, I think is what he calls it, the Aeneid. So I had to look it up because they don't show the whole poster on there, but we've got Horus, Osiris, Tefnut, Shu, Hathor, Geb, and Nephthys. So those are the ones that are actually shown on the poster. And he says there are two that are missing, which is a little bit inconsistent with what I found online. But luckily, they actually show a book during the episode that shows all the Aeneid gods in there. So I was able to fill in the blanks, and the two that are missing are Isis and Atum. So maybe the fact that they were missing from that poster means that they're going to be important at some point throughout the series. I have no idea. I just thought it was interesting. So I looked
into it. Yeah, that's good. I dig that.
But yeah, so it could just be Emmett and Khonshu that are going to have their avatars butt heads, or maybe there will be more Egyptian gods playing a role later in the series. We'll have to wait and see. I don't really have any predictions right now. I think the easiest way would just be to have the two gods going at it, but hard to say.
Hard to say. I mean, honestly, the more the merrier, why not? But you don't want it to get too claustrophobic in there. So, you know, you want to save some stuff for later. I'm on the same page. I think just for now, we've only seen the first episode. So I'm just going to assume that it's going to be between the two of them. So,
yeah, that seems most likely. But yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah,
we'll have to wait.
All right. So early on, we see Steve talking to Steven. And I corrected myself there because his name is very important and that comes up multiple times throughout the episode. Because people keep calling him the wrong name and he keeps correcting them, which is another interesting point. And I think he does that because, you know, he knows his condition. He's fully aware that he has dissociative identity disorder and he's got all these different personalities. So I think he corrects people not only as, you know, a way of saying, hey, that's not my name, it should be this, but also like reminding himself, like reassuring himself that he is who he thinks he is and he's not, you know, having an episode and he's somebody else or whatever. Great point. I think that's a big part of why he does that.
I agree.
But anyway, he's talking to his mom on the phone. He's actually leaving her a voicemail and he talks to her. He has like phone calls, messages, with his mom at least one or two other times. I don't remember exactly
throughout the episode. At least twice.
Yeah. I thought it was three times total.
Maybe. I just remember at least two. Multiple times for sure.
Yeah. So the second one was a little unclear, but you can like, you know, a lot of times in shows you can like hear the person on the other side of the phone, but you never hear his mom. So I was wondering, like, does his mom actually exist? Because I mean, Steven is not the original personality. Mark is the original personality. Steven was dreamt up, right? Essentially. So does his mom actually exist? Is he talking to anybody? Is that just like part of that personality that he thinks he has a mom, you know, a different mom? Because obviously that mom wouldn't know him as Steven. I mean, I guess he could, because I was reading Steven was a personality that he developed as a child. So maybe his mom would know Steven as well as Mark. So it's hard to say. I'm not really sure if that mom is made up or real. I just thought it was interesting that we never actually heard her. That seemed like a deliberate choice on their part. So
100%. I think that's something they're going to explore later for sure. I thought the same thing. They definitely made a point. It could go either way. It could be someone completely non-existent, or maybe there's a point where they all kind of collide together and they all take certain traits and certain things and memories from each personality. So maybe he's calling Mark's mom, like you said, you know, and that's something he developed, the Steven person, whether she recognizes Steven or not. He could just be straight up calling her and she's like, who is this person? So he's just leaving voicemails. But then again, I guess it seemed like he was having a full-on conversation at one point.
I think I can listen to it, though. There's never like a clear indication that, you know, he's responding to things that the other person is saying. It seems like he's leaving another voicemail.
Got it. Okay. Then they're doing that on purpose for sure. Like 100%.
That's how it felt like to me, at least. I mean, it was a little tricky the way that they did it, but I could definitely see it being a voicemail because he was like asking questions and stuff, but he like wasn't really waiting for a response. And it definitely seemed like a kind of a misleading voicemail to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. And I don't really know how Mark is the original. That's why I'm calling him Mark. I don't know how Mark's mom plays a role in the comics. So it's hard to say, like, I don't know if she's still supposed to be alive at this point or what. And there were at least, you know, a couple of things that they've done so far that are not consistent with the comics. So we'll have to see, you know, even if his mom is around and knows about both Steve and Mark in the comics, there's no guarantee that that's the case here, just because they've already changed some things up. So, yeah, so we'll see. Did you catch the Mummy Army reference? So that's mostly me just getting my hopes up, because last episode we were talking about all the like superpowers that Moon Knight has, and one of them was mind control. And in the comics, he controls an army of mummies. And there was a point very early on when they were in the museum, and Stephen was talking to his boss, and they were doing stuff in the back room with inventory and whatnot. And she just had like a whole bunch of plastic mummies on the desk. Mm-hmm. Looked like an army of mummies to me.
She did, so. Yeah.
Yeah, So that gets me excited. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but that would be pretty awesome.
A little foreshadow.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. I did catch one Easter egg. That I don't think is real, but maybe, and I didn't look up online just to make sure. You remember the scene from Far From Home when they're in the bus and Peter puts on Tony's glasses and then he like says something about the guy that's hitting on MJ. So then they're like, terminate him. And then like, he says like, okay, I don't remember. It was something like that where he accidentally like said, terminate him.
Right.
So the drone starts coming in from the satellite from space. And I could have sworn that that same highway that they were driving on when he jumped up from the bus and shot the drones in the mountains or Alps, whatever, I'm pretty sure that's the same location where Mark had his chase in this episode. It looked very, very familiar.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be like a minor thing, but I was thinking, I'm like, huh, that looks very similar. And then it clicked and I was like, oh, that looks very similar to the same road that they were traveling in Far From Home on the bus in the mountains. So they didn't really tell us where he was when that happened. I was like, is that Latvia? What is this? Because the castle and everything. I'm like, oh man.
That's interesting. I did not notice that.
I don't think it's like anything that's going to be expanded on. I think it was just, if it was something, it was just for,
I mean, if it was the same, that could be an indication that it is like in the same area, the same universe. Because I mean, at this point, we don't even know if Moon Knight's in the same universe, especially with the multiverse. It could very well be in a different universe and it'll be connected later.
Absolutely.
So yeah, no, it's actually a good point. I'll do a side by side later and try to figure that out.
Okay, cool. Let me know for sure.
All right. So after the whole Mummy Army reference, Mark goes out to like sell candy to kids or whatever, and the tour guide approaches him about an apparent date that they have scheduled for Friday night. And he has no memory of it. So I'm wondering who invited her on a date, right? If it wasn't Steve, because from the comics, Steve is like millionaire playboy. I'd imagine he's the one that would have invited her. But this Steve is definitely not a millionaire by any means. Like, he seems to be very poor. I mean, they never like come right out and say it, but just given the kind of job he has, it seems like kind of a minimum wage thing. Maybe
a small little flat minimum wage.
He does not seem to be very well off. So you know, that's something that definitely seems to have changed quite a bit from the comics. And he's not like you know, playboy by any means,
not even close.
So if Steven didn't ask her out on a date, who did? Because the other personalities that we know of, at least from the comics, are Jack. I think that's his name, right? Jack, the cab driver.
Jack Lowry, or something like that. I'm gonna butcher the last name, but I agree, and I think that the purpose of the show too, it was very clear.
Jake Lockley.
I was the one that messed that up the last episode. I passed it on to you. But yeah, I do think, and I mean, you definitely caught this for sure. You know, we're analyzing it, but I also think that this show purposely took scenes out, not took scenes out, but they're going to fill the gaps throughout the season for sure. Like we're going to see, I feel like we're going to see more of what happened in this first episode, because there was a lot of
good jumps. Yeah, that was something I was wondering about. Like because I mean, there's a lot of shows that will just do like, you know, three episodes that are the same sequence of events just told from different people's perspectives. And it's really interesting. I really like it when shows do that. And that's, mm-hmm. that's what I was wondering. Like, are they going to do that here?
Yeah.
At least for the first like couple episodes. I mean, I'd be pretty disappointed if that was the entire season, because I want to see more, but.
Do you want to know my theory?
Good.
I think that they are going to kind of make it organized in a way. I know that might seem boring, but the way that I took the end, it's primarily the end shot. I mean, think about the end. The last frame you see is right into Moon Knight's face when Mark takes over fully from Steven. And that was, to me, Steven's passing the torch to Mark for this moment. So now the next episode, it's Mark time, baby. Like, we're going to be with Mark the whole episode. And then maybe they pass the torch back to Steven for episode 3, vice versa. It goes back and forth. And then 5, 6, we get, it all comes together. It all flows together. And then we get kind of a hybrid of the both, and they're both working together. They're both buddies now. Khonshu's cool with Steven, because he is not cool with Steven. They made that very clear in this episode. Khonshu doesn't want anything to do with Steven. He's like, he called him a parasite. He called him like multiple names. He's like, get out of here. You are weak. Where is Mark? Why am I talking to you? What is going on? Like, get out of here. Get lost. Yeah. And again,
he's calling him an idiot, calls him parasite. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Dude, just straight up bullying him. And for me, it's almost as if something inside of Mark is trying to take back control from Khonshu, and he's trying to, it's his own way of kind of fighting and combating Khonshu and regaining his own consciousness. And that could be totally,
I don't think he's like fighting Khonshu back. Like, I think he's fine with doing Khonshu's bidding and being his knight or whatever.
Sure.
I think he's just trying to help Steven in any way he can. Like, I think Mark is the one that set up the date for Steven. And later on, they kind of hint that somebody replaced the goldfish, right? And I think that was also Mark. Like, Mark, I think Mark he's got Steven's back. He's trying, because like, he feels sorry for him. And he's warning Steven. He doesn't want Steven to become a part of this, like this whole life that Mark is involved in, being a mercenary, being Moon Knight. Like, he doesn't want Steven to be a part of that. He wants Steven to live a nice, normal, relaxing life. So he tries to set him up with dates. He tries to, you know, he fixes the goldfish, and he tries to be sneaky about it so that Steven won't find out. And you can tell that whoever replaced the goldfish attempted to get a goldfish with only one fin, because the lady was like, same thing I told you last time. We don't carry any goldfish like that. Like,
this is why I need to watch it again, because
right, those are the things that I've seen it like five times at this point.
I know he told me before, Colin told me before we recorded, and I was like, oh, I wish, but I'm gonna watch it tonight before I go to bed, just to take it in one more last time and then sleep on it. I definitely would have caught that the second time for sure, and you are 100% right. I'm with you fully on this. I do think that was very apparent that Mark is the one that's doing all these things on the DL. He's also finding a way to get out of the house. They're going to show us that, or get out of the flat. They're going to show us that, where he like unshackles himself easily and like removes the tape and then goes out and then comes back and then puts the tape back on really nicely and reshackles himself and confuses Steven. So Steven has no idea that he left. He thinks that he's been there the whole time sleeping. We're definitely going to see that for sure. Now that you look at it and you get that perspective of what you mentioned, that's happening without a doubt for sure.
Yeah, it honestly just like occurred to me a few minutes ago. Like, the more I think about it, that's got to be what's happening. It's just Mark trying to watch out for Steven.
And they hit that when he's looking at him in the mirror, and when they have the first like talk with each other. And it was very,
Mark just keeps warning him, like, stop looking, stop trying to figure this out. Just let it go.
Let me take over.
He's just trying to keep Steven in blissful ignorance.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Well said.
All right. Did you catch the Jekyll and Hyde reference?
Absolutely not.
I mean, if you're like getting ready for work and whatnot, it's going to be hard to catch. So this was on screen for like a second, maybe 2 seconds. So after Mark, or when Mark was leaving the museum, he walked past a rack of postcards, and one of them said Hyde, spelled H-Y-D-E on it.
Nice.
So that was pretty early on before we really got into the whole, you know, the voices in his head and all that. So yeah, that felt deliberate. I mean, it had to be.
For sure.
What did you think about the whole scene with him talking to the statue man?
You know, I loved it because I think it just gave us an understanding of the human that Steven is. And I'm not going to lie, like, honestly, I'm glad that they shifted this from the comics, because to me, I'm not a millionaire playboy, right. You know, and I feel like it's more relatable, and it's more humanizing, and it has more emotional weight that, you know, if something happened to, let's say they did the route with Steven where he's a millionaire playboy, he's eccentric, he's an a-hole, and all the whole nine yards, whatever.
Done that with Iron Man.
Right, exactly. True. Good point. And then something happens to Steven right down the road at the end of the season, the audience, and we're going to be like, whatever. He had it coming, right? Now, if something happens to Steven for us, you know, we're going to be like, no.
Love that
no.
guy.
No, save Steven, Mark. They're definitely going to play on that for sure. The audience is like, we're going to root for both of them in separate ways. Like, we're going to want Steven to be the human and to live a normal life and to be happy and blissful, you know, ignorance, whatever. And then Mark, we want him to be the mercenary and just having the cool, crazy scenes of him being Moon Knight and all that, you know. And because that's what it was when that chase scene was happening. He was like switching between, I mean, honestly, the whole sequence since it started was that he was just kept transitioning between Mark and it was so cool. Transitioning between Mark and Steven. We just, as the audience, didn't know it yet. You know, we were like, what's going on? I mean, us, you know, having a Marvel podcast and then doing our research and having that Moon Knight episode certainly helped it this today. But, you know, I was watching with my girlfriend and I had a pause and she was like, so I'm kind of confused right now. And I explained to her, you know, we just haven't seen Mark yet. Mark's the main person. Mark is they're not dropping us right in the beginning and showing us when he died and when he was resurrected by Khonshu. Like, I'm sure we're going to see it at some point in the show, but it was not conventional. They did not start this show with him as a mercenary getting killed, resurrected, boom, 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 boom. No, they just, like Colin said in the beginning of this episode, they literally just boom, dropped us right into it. And I love that. I do. I think it was unconventional in a good way. And I think it got head spinning. I think it generated interest. I think it produced a lot of hype today as well for the show, because it was just, like I said, I'll say it again, it was explosive. I think that's a really good word for this premiere.
But yeah, so going back to the whole statue man thing. So I think you kind of touched on it, but it's basically like emphasizing the kind of person that Steven is, maybe partially for the hardcore fans that, you know about the backstory of Steven Grant and that he's supposed to be this millionaire playboy. And that's just their way of saying like, no, he's really shy. He's only able to open up to, you know, people that like don't talk to him, because I mean he opens up to his mom when he leaves her voicemails, and he opens up to the statue man who's not allowed to talk back to him, you know. So I think it's just, it's all piling on that, just helping develop the character and just tell us more about the kind of person he is.
Said it simply, I went off on a tangent, but yeah. You were 100% right.
Tangents really great.
And you make a really good point with he does open up to people that aren't responding to him. There's no connection. He's not the connection guy.
I was just gonna say he has conversations with other people, later on in the episode when he's talking to what's her name, Layla. He really doesn't have a conversation with her at all. He says like a few words, like, you know, one word responses and stuff, and that's it. He doesn't open up at all. He's really not able to get any useful information out of her because he's not really, you know, having a complete dialogue with her. Yeah, so he's just what's the word? An introvert, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And they make that point for sure.
But yeah, I mean, I'll definitely talk more about the escape scene and all that stuff a little bit later on. So we'll get back to that. But yeah, it was awesome seeing all that unfold, and the way they did it was just amazing. Before we get to that, so we see Arthur for a second time. I guess we didn't see much of him in the beginning, but we see him for the second time after Stephen wakes up. We don't really know where. He comes to like the center of the town. Everybody gathers around. He starts judging people. He judges this man who is a good man. He's able to, you know, rejoin the group. He's fine. And then he judges this woman who claims that she's never done a bad thing in her life. She's always been a good person. But then Arthur explains that Ahmet sees not only your life so far, but also the future. He sees your present, your past, and your future. So so if he judges you as a bad person, you could be doing something bad in the future. So it's pretty intense. And she dies moments later after he reveals that she is deemed not worthy. That's pretty intense.
Absolutely.
And he's saying that that's just like a fraction of Ahmet's power. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to get more of Ahmet's power later on. If he's actually the Avatar, you know, maybe he's going to have his own development as a character. Maybe right now Ahmet's just kind of like testing him to see if he's worthy and deciding if he wants him to become full Avatar or not. You know, so we'll have to see where that goes.
I see him trying to like mass judge people instead of like finding the power to judge multiple people across vastness at the same time. You know, you're doing one person at a time, and you're trying to make this world pure and make it what you want for yourself and your cult or whatever. You're going to want to do it, you know, as quick as possible in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And with a mass amount of people. You want to touch as many lives as you can. So I'd see him trying to channel the power. Maybe that's why he's trying to go after the scarab, to try to hit as many people as possible to judge them, you know?
Yeah,
there's a theory, just a theory.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that he already has a good amount of influence, not just in that town, but also spread out who knows how far away, because you see, when Steven's at the museum later, that guard approaches Steven and reveals the tattoo on his arm, indicating that he's one of Arthur's followers. And, you know, that because Steven knows him by name, clearly that guard has been working there for a while. And Arthur had no reason to plant that guy there before, because he knew nothing about Steven. He didn't even know that Steven worked there. So that guy was there just by coincidence for who knows how long. So if he's there, then how many other, you know, how widespread is Arthur's following? You know, because we don't know exactly how far away that town was from where Steven works. They never really make that clear. There might be indications, but I couldn't figure it out.
I mean, he's in London, so it could be anywhere in the UK or whatever, you know, maybe in Ireland or I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, anywhere.
I mean, we find out that he was gone for 3 days, right? See, it was Thursday when he blacked out, and then he didn't come back, yep. like after the whole chase scene and the town scene with Arthur. Like, he didn't come back until Sunday. So it was 3 days. So, you know, day and a half away maximum. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could be pretty far. But yeah, so we also find out in that town scene that Stephen is recognized as a mercenary. So we know that Mark has been there, and that makes it clear that they're at least somewhat staying true to the comic, that Mark's character is actually a mercenary. So so we do have that bit of backstory. So that's good, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I know you're waiting to go into the chase scene, but they definitely brought that full force, because he literally was blacking out when all the people died. And then he came back and like had a gun in his hand and like blood all over the place, and he's like, oh, like
it, hilarious. It was awesome and hilarious. There were just like so many emotions going on there. It was just really intriguing, and it was really well done the way they did it. Mm-hmm. Like right when it started, Arthur, I love how Arthur managed to pick him out of the crowd, because he just said something in Egyptian that
and everybody I don't know if it bowed.
Was Egyptian. I assume it was Egyptian. But yeah, everybody bowed down except for Stephen.
He goes, oh, bollocks.
He tried to play good. Along.
Yeah, I love that. I love funny. The character. I really
there wasn't
do.
A lot of comedy in it, but the moments, moments did hit pretty well. So
they did hit. I had a couple laughs, and that was unexpected for me too, because they really like pent us up that this was going to be like dark and shifting a tone and all that. So I was not expecting to laugh at all. And I mean, maybe it's just Oscar Isaac, a testament to his acting, because he definitely got a few chuckles out of me for sure.
Yeah, so. Same here. All right. So let's see. I think now we can talk about it.
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty now much we can.
Yeah. I mean, what so, is there to say? It is super exciting. So, it's explosive. It's awesome. Yeah, they use a lot of CGI, but whatever. It's 2022. And again, they definitely filmed a lot of this during the pandemic, so you need to keep that in mind as well. I'm sure there were a lot of scenes that they filmed in the studio when the pandemic wasn't happening. They probably would have filmed it real with more money and yada, yada, yada. Whatever. I get it. But it looked great. I mean, I loved it. It was just the blacking out and coming to, it kept my mind interesting, because I mean, how many action scenes do we see? How many chase scenes? Again, Colin was probably like, another chase scene.
I was just going to say that, because I've said this in multiple episodes. I do not like chase scenes as a rule of thumb. There's just so many of them, and most of them are just, they feel so samey. There's just not a lot of unique things happening to them. Like, one of the exceptions, obviously I talked about this before, but the Hawkeye chase scene was just awesome with all those different trickers and everything. And this one, I loved it again. It was so good. There were just all these near-death moments, and every time Stephen was about to get shot in the head or whatever was happening, Mark just took over and just completely owned whoever was threatening Stephen's life. And and then Stephen would come to, and it'd just be completely different. He would just be like so lost, just trying to figure out like what the heck just happened.
I love when he's driving backwards.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's driving backwards. It's like, what is happening here? That reminded me of one of the few other chase scenes that I like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. When Angelina Jolie turns the car around because Brad Pitt's just like not doing the job. So she's like, fine, I'll do it myself. Just turns the van around, just starts shooting everybody herself. So we don't see how the van ended up just starting to drive backwards. But I was just imagining something similar to that Mr. and Mrs. Smith scene.
Well, for sure. Now that you said that, it definitely rings a bell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Man, it was awesome scene. It was so good. Let's see. So what else is there? We talked about a lot of this stuff as we've been jumping around here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anything else you want to say about the scene? I mean, I think we pretty much covered it, but it was so much fun. All right, so then he gets back to his apartment. He wakes up and he seems like happier than he's ever been when he wakes up, because he's like, oh, thank goodness, it was just a dream, you know, it didn't actually happen. And then, you know, he tries to go about his day as normal, and then he realizes the goldfish is not the same.
Yeah,
that's the dead giveaway. And clearly, you know, like I was talking about this before, Mark tried to replace the goldfish and tried to even get a goldfish with one fin so that Steven wouldn't figure it out, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't pull it off. So Steven caught on, and then his whole world just opened up, and he found the phone in his apartment. And
one thing I would say, razor phone, by the way, a throwback razor for all you millennials out there, because I know you owned a razor at some point. I did. And when I saw that, I was like, woo, razor throwback. But on a real note, the razor phone made me think, okay, is this like 20 years in the past?
Timeline, yeah. Right. But the thing is,
but he's a mercenary. Could be an old phone, you know, what is it? Like a throw phone?
One burner.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've watched Better Call Saul. I know all about burners.
I need to watch Better Call Saul.
It's so good. I've
heard great things.
It's on my list. They have not released episodes fast enough. It's like years in between. It's so annoying.
Not to shift gears, but I just watched a movie with him called Nobody.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's awesome.
Is it? I wasn't sure. Okay, I'll check it out. It's awesome.
I watched it one night, like on the weekend at like 1 a.m. And it was just, I was like, oh, I'm just watch this for a little bit. Finish the whole thing. I just went right through it. I couldn't stop watching it. It's awesome. Highly recommend.
I made a note. I'm going to watch it.
That's all you type.
I've been like on the fence about it.
No, but watch it.
Since
I like
you recommended it. I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, I always recommend it. Right. I like for sure. But anyways, anyway. Back to Barbie.
All right. So, but yeah, the Razor phone definitely dates the show, so that's really interesting. After he picks up the phone, he sees all the missed calls and all that. So it's probably just a burner. I don't think it's like, you know, an original. Because, I mean, it makes sense. He's a mercenary. Having a burner phone is not unrealistic, especially because he has it, like, hidden in the wall. I found it interesting that the ringtone was, the volume was turned on, that it wasn't, like, on silent.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because he got a call from Layla. He didn't call her. She called him. It just happened to be when he had the phone in his hand. So either he turned the volume on off screen, or it was on the whole time, which I don't find likely.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Mark would have tried to keep that a secret, and he wouldn't have left the phone on.
Yeah, anyway, vibrate or something at least.
Minor detail.
It's a good detail to know, to see, because I didn't even think about that when it happened.
Yeah. So he's got the phone, and I don't think it really dates it. Unfortunately, we know it's not like super long ago. It's not like 1900s or whatever. So
definitely modern-ish. It's in the 2000s.
Yeah, and I think it's probably modern day, like within the last couple of years. I would guess. I think it's roughly present day.
I think so too.
But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't a burner phone, which doesn't seem likely, then that does put it, you know, pre-Iron Man, right? But
maybe here's a thought. Maybe Mark wanted her to link up with him so that she could help protect Mark or protect Steven. I don't know. I don't think it's a possibility. Yeah,
because she said that she hadn't heard from Mark in months, right?
That's true. But he could, because the pressure's coming down now. But the pressure's coming down now because of Ethan Hawke's character. There's a lot of near-death experiences. Maybe Mark is getting a little overwhelmed himself. And he's like, all right, I need help now. I can't act like I've just been dead for this long. Might have had a change of heart. Just throwing it out there.
But I mean, she made a point of saying that he's been dodging her calls. Like, he hasn't called her once. When Steven's on the phone with her, that's the first time that she's talked to him in months.
He's been acting dead.
I don't know why he's been ignoring her, but
I just took it because he's been acting dead, because she thought he was dead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that kind of tells us like when he died and got the Moon Knight powers.
Yes, right? I got that from that too. It's been months since he died.
Yeah, that's but then thinking. Why did he ignore his burner phone? Maybe he didn't want to drag anybody else into this whole business with Khonshu. He didn't want to drag Layla into it, and he still doesn't want to drag her into it. That's why he hasn't answered her calls. And you know, like I was saying before, that's why he's been trying to protect Steven. He doesn't want to drag anybody into it, even his other personas.
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Again, I think there's going to be we might not see all the filler things that we missed, we'll that we skipped over. We're going to see some of it.
Yeah, I hope so. At least so flashbacks.
At least the chase scene. I hope they show us him. Just, yeah.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. All right. And on the phone, did you catch the other reference on there?
No.
So they show the name DeChamp. So in our last episode, go and watch it if you haven't, we were talking about Moon Knight's backstory, and DeChamp was like his number two, his like best friend, also known as Frenchie. Yeah. Let me look up his full name here. So Jean-Paul DeChamp, also known as Frenchie. So that was a reference to him. So nice. He exists. So that part of his backstory is still intact. We don't know how much of a role he's going to play, but he's in the universe.
So. He exists. Okay. I did not catch that either. That was a really fast thing that, again, I probably would have caught the second time.
If you were watching it, like if you just weren't looking away, and you don't even have to be watching it that close, because they paused for a couple seconds because he was like scrolling through the history and paused for a good like 2 seconds on DeChamp and then kept scrolling.
Then just went over my head. Then I didn't see it. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for connecting that, because that's awesome. He's definitely on his way then.
So then who is this Layla character? So my initial thought, because I couldn't remember the name of the of his love interest from his backstory, I know I told you like a little while ago when we were talking about this, I still don't remember her name. Marlene. Yeah, so Marlene was his love interest in the comics, and this is Layla. So it's not Marlene. So who is she? What kind of role does she play in Mark or Steve's? Well, she doesn't know Steve. She just knows Mark, apparently. So what kind of role does she play in Mark's life? Is she a love interest? Does she have some other role there? She's been calling him a lot. So she's obviously, or Mark is obviously very important to her. And I did look up who she was. And there seems to be, it doesn't seem to be completely known for sure. And I don't know if this is necessarily a spoiler, because it could very well be something different, but with some other stuff that's coming up, I think it might actually be accurate. And that kind of changes things a lot if she is who I think she is.
Well, maybe...
I mean, I'll say it? Just to, because I mean, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're concerned about it being a spoiler, just skip ahead a couple of minutes.
Yeah, hit that 30-second button or whatever.
Yeah, I'll just say it real quick. So there's only one character in all of Marvel with the name of Layla, and that is Layla Miller. She's a mutant from the X-Men. So possibly another universe. Anyway.
So I think she's a mercenary too. Like, I think she's a form of a mercenary. That's kind of what I got. I think they're going to, I think she is a love interest, but just a different love interest.
Yeah.
An early love interest, you know? I got the vibe that it's someone who's worked with him too. Like it's a mercenary, another mercenary.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. If she is who I think she is, you know, that's going to change things quite a bit.
Definitely. For sure.
You know, anybody who has fast forwarded at this point, I'm not going to repeat it.
So it's exciting though. Spoil it. It's exciting.
Yeah, especially with a certain movie coming out later this year. You know, makes it even more likely that it's in, that it could be accurate.
In let's see.
One, well, I don't want to say how far.
Oh yeah, yeah. Never mind. I'll say not later this year. But yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Maybe right. Next year.
Yep, eventually. Anyway, so after that, we had the elevator scene, which we saw parts of from the trailer, which I thought was awesome.
Looking for my contact lens.
Yeah, just freaks the lady out so bad.
Yeah, she's like.
But she didn't open the here. Door. She knows I'm coming. She's expecting me. so good.
That was good. So good.
let's see. Later on, we get the Avatar reference. That's so good.
He said phone
free
too.
Advertising he said, for Disney.
He said the blue people, and then he said, "Oh, the anime." He said both. That was good.
So for anybody who hasn't heard, they are coming out with more Avatar movies. Finally, there are going to be four.
I'm an outcast on this, by the way. I'll say this now.
So they're coming out with four more Avatar movies, and Disney is making them. So that was, yeah, I looked it up. They're at least releasing them is the word I saw. I didn't really dig into it too much. I just wanted to make sure that Disney was involved, because this is clearly them advertising the upcoming Avatar movies.
Is this going to be a 20th Century Studios project? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Because you know how they shifted the brand of 20th Century Fox? They took Fox out, and now they're still dropping movies with 20th Century Studios. So they're like taking all those projects that were still under Fox and still making those go, but they're just branding it 20th Century Studios. Because I had no idea that Avatar, I thought it was Paramount.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a quick Google search. I guess it's possible I'm wrong, but I just wanted to make sure that there was some link between Disney and Avatar, because that would be
right.
That name drop there was just free advertising. Well, not free advertising, advertising for Disney, which I thought was really funny.
You're right. They have Pandora at, now that it just hit me like lightning. They have an Avatar Pandora attraction at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So you're right. You're not wrong. There is 100%. Yeah, there's 100%. So that was free advertising for sure. But not for Avatar The Last Airbender. They wanted to acknowledge it, because again, you know, Disney, I guess they brought up Alien because now they own Aliens too, but they do like to bring up pop culture references. So that's like one of their things. So I respected that, how they said they didn't forget Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. So then Arthur and, well, so this is during that same conversation with Arthur and Stephen meeting in the museum. He does the test on Stephen, the test with his cane that swings and does the scales test. Instead of determining that he's good or bad, which we saw what both of those results look like, good as the scales are balanced, bad as they lean heavily to one side. And for him, he gets neither of those results. It just keeps going back and forth and doesn't stop.
And it turns red and green too. That was like, did you notice that?
For the good and bad? I noticed it turned red for the bad. I don't remember what the good looked like.
It turned green. I'm pretty sure it turned green for the stoplight, like green
the guy.
Go and red. Yeah.
The red stop. Makes sense. He says there's chaos in you, so that's what that result means apparently, which makes a lot of sense. So he's neither good nor bad, and we talked about that a little bit, a good amount, I guess, in our Moon Knight Enough Said episode.
Check that's it out, available on podcast services around the globe.
So that pretty much confirms. Well, I guess it doesn't really say for sure, because I don't know. We were both kind of like, he's middle of the road, but in what respect? Is he like always doing things that are middle of the road, kind of like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy? Or is he like doing like pure evil things sometimes and really good things other times? You know, so it's not really clear right now. It honestly seems a little bit more like the latter. Because the scales were like going all over the place. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could look at it like a mercenary, right? Sometimes they're hired to do something that's going to be good. Right? It's going to you know, take care of something, an evil dictator, whatever, you know, not in our world, but any world, you know, a mercenary could be seen as a do-gooder, but also something for bad intention as well. So I kind of, I'm taking the lead from Mark on this. That's at least for me. So,
but I guess more I think about it, it seems like that's just kind of an indication that he could go either way. He's got he's got multiple personalities inside of him. Some are good personalities, some are bad personalities, and they're kind of like at war with each other, and it's unclear who is going to win out in the end, even though Ahmet can see into the future. Which doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but maybe they're never going to win out. I don't know. So chaos. I mean, that's really
the best way to put it. I agree. I think chaos is the best way to put it. I do have another theory that I noticed that I don't know if you picked up on, because remember I said that I mentioned in the, I think Moon Knight Enough Said episode, that I do think that there's potentially a third personality that we aren't going to see until later on in the show, maybe towards the end or to cliffhang us into what's to come for Moon Knight. If you look at the intro scene, like the title credits, beautiful. Title credits, I think it's awesome, looks so cool. There's a specific image of him and it's three faces extended. It's his own face, then there's one, two. Again, you could take that as
hey, you know, Moon Knight and Mark are considered different personalities.
Exactly, but you kind of see where I was going with that, where I kind of was looking like maybe it was there's a third person and they were kind of just trying to hint that. I only saw it once, and from the image I remember seeing at least two faces, which look, you know,
how it was at least cool. Like three total faces,
maybe, but it was three, but I agree with you that it could just be Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it could be Mark, Moon Knight. I mean, we know Mr. Knight, right? We've seen him in the trailers. So Mr. Knight's going to make an appearance eventually. And we know Mr. Knight wasn't the one who asked out the tour guide, because she knew Steven's face.
Yeah, right? 100%. Yep.
Valid. Whoever it was must have not given their name, or he just lied about his name, because when, you know, she can clearly see Steven's name tag on his chest, right? And she doesn't question it. She's like, wait, I thought your name was Mark, you know, like she knows that his name is Steven. So
did she say that? I thought your name was Mark. I don't remember that.
No, I'm saying she didn't say that. That's how we know that the other personality either didn't give a name or claimed their name was Steven, even though it wasn't. All right. So, and actually back to that whole date thing, it's kind of a minor detail, but they pointed out that Steven is a vegan, and you know, there's the scene with him at the restaurant, and he orders a steak, which is interesting. I wonder what that means. It might have just been him like having an identity crisis, not really knowing who he is. Like,
that's exactly what it was, because when they were asking what temperature he didn't even give them an answer. Then they're like, well done, and he's like, sure, sounds great. I mean, come on. I know that some people out there, you're crazy, but like, well done steak, not everybody orders a well done steak. Like, it's, you know what I mean, like that's intense, right? And I totally see that as it was like the light bulb moment. Like, he was like, whoa, something's going on with me right now.
Yeah. Like, this, that was when he just caught on to the fact that it had been 3 days. He didn't realize that he had been gone that long. He just got off the phone with the nameless tour guide. I don't think they ever dropped her name. They just, even the subtitles just says woman. So he talks to her, she says, you know, I ate by myself on Friday, it's Sunday now. Then the waiter confirms it, and that's when, like you said, the light bulb goes off and he's just having an identity crisis. He's barely even listening to the waiter. He's just got so much on his mind, and he just orders a steak without even really thinking about it. But yeah, so then the last thing that happens in the episode, I didn't like it as much as the chase scene, but it was still pretty awesome. The other chase scene, the jackal chase, it's pretty cool. And I guess that does give us a little bit of a glimpse into Arthur's capabilities, right? Because you hear him on the intercom. He's the one who is responsible for unleashing the jackal on Steven. So he's got the ability to kill people with a touch if they fail Amit's test, and he can also apparently unleash jackals, and you know, who knows what else, but
yeah,
and that was a pretty intense chase scene. He was right on Steven's tail the entire time, even got a hit in once or twice, and yeah, he just barely managed to escape, somehow managed to close the game, the door, and like lock it. I don't know how he managed to do that. It didn't seem like there was, because it seemed like he kind of had to wrestle the jackal away, and the jackal was clearly much stronger than Steven. But whatever, nitpicking there. But yeah, it was an intense scene, and
it was
ended with the whole conversation between Steven and Mark. At least we're assuming it's Mark. It's never clearly stated, but it seems very likely that that was Mark.
Big bet. Yeah.
And then Steven gives in, Mark takes over, transforms into Moon Knight, and the episode's over. And I thought it was interesting that they did the Moon Knight transformation differently than they did in the trailer. I mean, maybe the transformation that we saw in the trailer is going to be in a later episode, but with this one, they only showed like the beginning of the transformation, and then he got tackled by the jackal, and then stuff happens off screen, and then you see him beating the jackal up. So, you know, I wonder if that was another, like, one of the, you know, Disney trailer tricks that they like to do. Because, like, if you're seeing that after you've seen the trailer, you see the beginning of the transformation, you're expecting it to finish, and then all of a sudden the jackal comes out of nowhere, like, way earlier than you're expecting it. It could, you know, it could get a jump out of you, you know, so maybe they did that on purpose, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome, though. I loved it.
It was awesome. And I do think we're going to see that was one of those teas. Like, we know the audience wants it. We want to see the full transformation on screen. We'll give that to them later. I did think of another Easter egg. It's crazy because I've only seen it once. I think there was a little bit of foreshadow when he was talking to the young girl about the pyramids and everything. Like, I think he's visited that himself. And that's why he didn't realize it, because Mark actually was the one that did that, but it's still like registered in his mind, so like he kind of connected to it. I could be overthinking this, but I did see a little, I did kind of look at that as like a little foreshadow, like he seemed to know a lot, you know.
That's one thing I guess I forgot to bring up, but yeah, she was talking to him, and he was telling her that that you're only able to come back if you're not rejected from the field of reeds. I don't remember the exact wording, but, and then she jokes that he was rejected, and then he was like, well, that only applies if you're dead, and I'm not dead. And then he kind of like gives a look, and he's like, am I? And then he gets cut off. So
good.
That was definitely seemed to be a reference to either his true origin or just a nod to the comics. It's not really clear which one, but you know, in the comics he did actually die and he was brought back by Khonshu. So that at the very least seemed like a nod to the comics. So we'll see what his true origin story is, if he actually died and came back or not. But yeah, that was a reference to that.
I loved it. Honestly, I still have that. What I saw earlier, you know, the MCU's new secret weapon, because I really do think that this show is going to hit really hard and be really successful for them, and also bring in another audience, a whole new audience, and bring more interest into it, you know. So I'm fully, obviously, of course, but I'm fully on board with the show.
Yeah, I mean, we've been raving about it the whole time. It's great.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, it's not a big commitment to watch the episode, so hopefully by the time you've heard this, you've already seen the episode. If not, watch it. It's amazing. But yeah, I don't know what else there is to say. It's really good. Definitely give it a shot. Not for kids.
No.
I will say that. Although honestly, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. Even if it's not like, you know, super mature, at least this first episode, it would be very, very confusing and hard to explain to kids. So,
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, there were definitely some moments that were a little violent, like the last, you know, 10 seconds when he's beating up the jackal. That's definitely some violence there, and definitely some very scary moments when he's getting chased by the jackal. But yeah, not for kids, but it wasn't nearly as bad as I was expecting. But I'm sure later episodes are going to be a lot more violent and mature themed. So
absolutely. Can't wait to talk more about this season. It's going to be awesome.
I didn't see what rating this got. Did you? Is it mature?
Like, oh, see, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't have kids. I don't know. I didn't see anything come up like on the top left or top right. But again, I'm completely honest. I haven't paid attention to that stuff at all. So I don't know. I mean, if I could rate it off the top of my head, I would PG-13, just like everything else Marvel.
Yeah, that seems about right. Which, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I guess we'll see where the rest of the season goes. You know, I wanted them to be pretty mature, or, you know, even R-rated with everything else that we have coming out. They need to pave the way at some point.
For sure.
You know, with Blade and Deadpool joining the mix.
I'm only rating the first episode.
Deadpool is certainly not confirmed, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening for sure. I'm only rating the first episode. Like, I don't know what the full rating of the show is going to be. If I was just to rate that first, the premiere, easy PG-13 for sure.
Yeah,
especially now it is. So
yeah, I agree. All right. Well, any other thoughts?
I honestly just can't wait to watch it again. That's it. Because I want to be on the same page as you. I want to at least watch it 2 times, maybe 3 times, and really just grasp it, because I wasn't going quick, but I couldn't pause and take it in. I couldn't like rewind or anything. I just watched it straight through because I had to get to work.
I watched it once very slowly, pausing frequently. And then the other times I watched it, it was just on in the background.
But I'm excited, man. This is a huge success. I don't have anything bad to say about the premiere. I cannot wait for more. What else is there to say? You know, we're with it, and Marvel's back, baby. It's here.
Yep.
2022, year two.
Awesome start of phase 4. Yeah, this is the first thing we've gotten late March.
It was a lot
of stuff coming still.
Yep. They had to hit us with a break after No Way Home. I mean, you know, of course.
Yeah, we need a breather after that. Need to slow the heart rate a bit.
Yeah, for sure. But more to come for us with discussing Moon Knight, so stay tuned.
Yep. All right, well, I think we'll call it there. We'll be right back for our outro. Thank you so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day, but for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to drop us a like, rate us, and hit that notification bell, depending on where you found us. You can also find us on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. We post regularly, so make sure to give us a follow. It helps the channel out so much. Links for everything are in the channel description. Also, if you've never participated in our polls, we always look at them to pick topics for our episodes, so make sure to check them out on Spotify. And make sure to join us next time. We're going to be breaking down Morbius. And after that, we'll get back to Moon Knight with episode 2. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
See ya.